There were some things that I was told to tell, and then there's going to be one thing that I think you all need to know. Here's what I was told to tell. JB's been a pastor for 42 years, which means he's old. That's all that means. He received his THM from Dallas Seminary in 1985. He coached at Mississippi State from 1973 to 1980. And he's most honored to be the husband of Jean, the daddy of Catherine and Sarah. And do they call you Papaw? Papa, okay. Of Riley, Cole, Peyton, Karsten, and Brooks. Now here's what I wasn't told to tell, but I'm going to tell you all this. JB is also a liar and a cheat. And you all can tell me if it's true or not. I've been coming to these conferences for 30 years. And they have a drawing at the end. I've never won a single thing. Never won one time in 30 years. Every year that guy wins something. Okay? So I don't know if he's paying off Bob or what he's doing. But there's some sneaky, hinky stuff going on there. That's all I'm saying. And with that, I'll turn it over to JB.
You noticed after the first speaker, they've raised this up for some reason for me. I don't know. I don't understand that. Anyway, it is great to be here. I love this ministry. I love Bob. He has touched my life many, many years. I thank God for the fun we have at this conference. I mean, I love coming. And let me do this. It's an honor to get to speak. But let me start with a prayer, and then I just want to say a few things. Heavenly Father, what a great, great time. Thank you for this conference. Lord, all the people who come, it is so fun to talk about the Bible, the scriptures, how things put together. Lord, the greatest message of all, that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone for eternal life. And we thank you, Lord. We have that message, and may we clearly proclaim it to others. Thank you, Lord, just for the Bible and this life. And just, Lord, I just ask you, as we look at this subject that we've chosen, that you'd teach us, you'd show us things we can apply in our lives, even right now. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to say that I know that they put me up here like this because they know I move, and so they've got a limit how far I can go. So let me just say this. The subject, listen, the handout's got a different title. This is a different title, and even on my message, I have a different title. I couldn't even decide on what to talk about. So what I decided to do is I just wanted to look at this idea of how can people know that we're saved? Because you hear this all the time. They'll say, well, yeah, this person said they believe in Jesus, but how they live, they don't, or they don't do this. We don't know. And so I wanted to just talk, and it's going to be a little bit different. I've never done anything like this. We're going to talk about how can people know that we're saved. Let's put it this way. And so we live in a world that looks to works for proof of salvation. I'm going to go back to some years ago, and I mean it's been a long time ago, Bob Wilkin was speaking, was doing a debate, and it was in, I think, Edmond, Oklahoma. And so I drove down to be there. And he was debating a guy that was Reformed theology. So here's Bob over here. Here's this guy over here. Here's all the free gracers. We're all sitting out there. And then all the Reformed guys are sitting out there. And so they're kind of going back and forth. And Bob stands up and the guy's over there and Bob says, let me ask you one question. Do you know for sure that you have eternal life? And that guy just looked at Bob and went, you could see deer in the headlights. And he went, nobody can know for sure that they have eternal life. And Bob said, I know, I have eternal life. I have believed in Jesus Christ for eternal life, and I know that I have eternal life. These things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. And the guy just kind of stopped and looked, and all the free grace people are going, yeah, you know. And he's going, that's not what's, and he says, okay, well, based on my life at this point, I'm at least 90% sure that I'm going to heaven. And all the Reformed people clapped and cheered. And Bob stopped him and said, by the way, y'all realize, and you're clapping and cheering for a guy that doesn't know whether he's saved or not. And that, when you think about it, we live in a world that looks to works for proof of salvation. When we look at works for salvation, nobody can ever have really assurance. Have they done enough? Will they keep on doing enough? And so what I wanted to just think through today, and it's kind of just different. I've never done anything exactly like this. I usually just take a passage and all that kind of thing. But how can people know that we're saved? Is it by what we say? Is it by what we do? How does it work? You know, when we think about free grace of us, we say, we know. We know we have eternal life based on the promise of God. God so loved the world, as I said, he gave his son Jesus to die and rise again, that whoever would believe in him would never perish, but have everlasting life. So we know we have everlasting life. But there are all kind of things out there, and people who say all kind of different things on what must a person do and how can they know, and can you look at a person? And I hear people say all the time, well, a real Christian probably wouldn't do that, or we can know this. Well, here's the thing. How do free grace believers, how do we relate to those who look to something different other than the promise of eternal life, which is by faith in Jesus Christ? How is it possible? How can we, in a sense, show them that we're saved? And the answers, I think, are going to be a little bit different than you expect. So here's what I decided to do. I raised two questions. How do we know we're saved? And then the question that ties in with it is, can we actually know? And the answer is what? Yes. The others, how do others know we're saved? And so the question could be, can they know? And the answer is, maybe, maybe not. And they say, well, what are you talking about? Well, we'll see it. So let's do this. I want to start with the easiest one, and then how do we know we're saved? Well, the bottom line is we believe the promise of God. Jesus Christ promised us eternal life to all who would believe in him. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his son, whoever believes in him. We have the promise. Whoever believes in him has eternal life. I love that. And I'm going to say a little bit more about the eternal life thing, because I think that's the key. I loved the idea that forgiveness of sin and believing in Jesus for eternal life are two different things. I thought Ken did an amazing job on putting that together, because you hear people all the time say, you just need forgiveness of sins. I say, no, you need eternal life. What is the offer? It's eternal life. So in John 3:16, God, we know that. The first question, how do we know we're saved? We have eternal life. These things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And so this is the key. And let me tell you what we do at our church. And we say the gospel, and we divide the gospel really into three parts. We say there's a message, there's a response, and an offer. The gospel message, we say, is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He came to the earth, died on the cross to pay for sin, and rose again to conquer death. So that is that message. And by this, the love of God was manifested in us. This is how we know God sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. How? This is love. Now we love God. He loved us and his son to be the propitiation, the satisfactory payment. So we say the gospel message is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, as you know, and we've talked about this many times, that believing in Jesus, that he died and rose again for you, does not give you salvation. I've heard people say, oh, I believe Jesus died and rose again. I believe he died for me and rose again. That doesn't give you eternal life. You're believing in Christ for eternal life. So the gospel message, let me go back, is the death and resurrection of Christ. The response, this is the key, is to believe in him. It is not to humble yourself. It is not to get baptized. It is not to ask him into your life. It is to believe in him for eternal life. Over 160 places in the New Testament. I have always said 98 places. I know some people say 100 places in John. It's salvation is by faith. And so the response is to believe. Ephesians 2:8-9. My workshop is going to be Ephesians 2:8-10. I'm going to put those together. I'm calling it faith and works together. John 5:24, the one that Ken couldn't, of course, talk about a while ago and messed it all up. But anyway, truly, truly, I say, here's my word, believes him who sent me, has, present tense, eternal life. And so it's beautiful when you start looking at that and thinking of that. It's great. So the third part, and this is my favorite thing, and this was clarified to me, seemed like about 3 or 4 years ago, that I put this together. What is the message? He died and rose again. What's the response? To believe in him. But what is the offer? It's eternal life. It's not forgiveness of sins. The offer is not forgiveness of sins. The offer is eternal life. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would never perish, but what would they have? Eternal life. So that's the really key. And I love this verse right here. This is where Paul says, just for this reason, I found mercy so that in me is the foremost, because if you go back to the verse before it, he says he's the foremost sinner. So Paul says, I'm the foremost sinner, and God showed mercy. Jesus Christ would demonstrate his perfect patience as an example. Paul says, I'm the example for those who would believe in him, in Christ, for eternal life. And so when we talk to people all the time, we say, what's the offer? The offer is eternal life. Whoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. I was 19 years old. I had believed up to that point. I'd gone to church once when I was 6 and once when I was 12. And they made me pray when we were 12. I went into a Sunday school class and they made me pray. And I told my mom and daddy, I'm not ever going back again. I have a twin sister. She was with me. We said, we're not going back again. So we never went back. And I always thought, if you do more good than bad, you'll go to heaven. And so I was in college and I walked down. I was in the athletic dorm at Delta State. And I walked down the hall and there were a bunch of guys in the room. And I walked in the room and somebody shut the door. And all of a sudden, I was in a Bible study. And I thought, they're going to make me pray. I mean, that was every time I've ever come to something like this, they make you pray. But I couldn't leave. And that night, I heard the truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for my sins and rose again. And if I would believe in him, I would get eternal life. That night, I trusted in Christ. And let me tell you something. From that point on, I have never, one time, ever doubted that I have eternal life. I can remember that it was not about a month after I had believed in Christ for eternal life. I'm walking down the hall and a guy comes up to me and somehow in the hall we were just talking with the other, he's a football guy, and we were talking and he said something about heaven. I said, I'm going to heaven. I know I have eternal life. He said, who do you think you are? Nobody can know that. I said, oh yeah, I know that. He said, you're not that good. I said, of course I'm not. I said, salvation is not based on being good. It's based on Jesus Christ. He has given to me eternal life. And so the first big point I wanted us to say is, because there are people out there who are believers, who have believed, and then they've lost their assurance, things have bothered them, things have confused them, and they don't know for sure whether they're going to heaven. And it really breaks my heart. So the second big question is, how do others know we're saved? And so I'm going to look at four things, and this is not going to be, I told them, I don't even know when I'm supposed to stop, but it's not going to be a long message, and so we'll have some time for questions. And I hope no time for questions. But anyway, how do others know that we're saved? And so I put four things: by our words, by our works, by both our words and works, and then kind of a conclusion. And so listen, if this is no good, Bob okayed it because I've sent it to him and I said, I don't even like it. He said, oh, do it. You got to do it. And so, he said, I put you up there. You got to do it. So I said, okay. So anyway, let's talk about by our words. And see, this is the key to me. How does somebody know? How would you know if I have eternal life or not? You come to me and somehow we talk and I say, I want you to know that I have believed in Jesus Christ for eternal life. My words to you is that I have believed in Christ for eternal life. And that is a way. And so if somebody said, are you a believer or do you have eternal life? And I would say, yes, I have believed in Christ for eternal life. And that's the key. Now, let me say this. We have a membership training that people join our church. And sometimes people even come to membership training. I don't even know who they are. So most of the time, there are people who are coming to our church. And then we say, we're going to have a membership training if you'd like to join. And people come in there. And some of them I know, but there's some who I don't know. But what we do is I go around during that 3-hour time period, and I meet with each one of them, and I say, let me ask you a couple of questions. If you were to die, would you go to heaven? I say it that way, and they all say yes, and I say, why? And you can tell by their answers, and most of the people who've been at our church for any length of time say, because I have believed in Christ for eternal life. Now, see, I think they're saved because that's what they're telling me. By their words, they're telling me they have believed in Christ. So I talked to Bob. He and I were talking on the phone about this sort of thing. And Bob said, but JB, think about this. There'll be some people that you can tell them and they won't believe you. They won't believe you. You can say, I believed in Christ for eternal life and they won't believe you. Let's look at this. Let's look at, first of all, the lordship idea. See, lordship people would say to me, if I say, I have believed in Christ for eternal life, they say, I hear what you're saying, but unless I see your good works, unless I see a changed life, unless I see your fruit, I don't believe that you're saved. And if we don't match up to their vision of what they think a true Christian really is, then they would say, you're not saved no matter what you say. I would say, no, I'm telling you I have eternal life. They say, I don't see your fruit. I found something. I read a lot of different things, but I found something. Do anybody know who Granger Smith is? Do y'all know who that is? Yeah. He had a bad tragedy. And here's what he said. And I just want you to listen to this carefully. He said, I had this tragedy in my life, and I realized I wasn't a Christian and I thought I was. And so here's what he says. He says, I could tell you the gospel. I could tell you that I believed in Jesus and I was saved. I could tell you I was going to heaven. I memorized some verses. I had done all of that. But then, until this tragedy, I didn't know that I didn't have saving faith. I didn't have the fruits of a mature Christian that was actually biblical and that would actually save me and that was actually true. It was so shocking to realize I wasn't saved. He says, I'm not saved until I see all these fruit in my life, and then that gives me an idea that maybe I'm saved. Now, it breaks my heart for the tragedy that happened to him, and he's going to a seminary. But he's saying, how do I know I'm saved? How does he know he's saved? Well, I knew I wasn't saved because I didn't have a lot of fruit in my life. And so we can talk to Lordship people, and we can say, I have put my faith in Christ. I believed in him for eternal life. And they say, I don't believe you because I don't see fruit in your life. The second one is the Reform group. And there's very similar. Of course, it's just a little bit different. They'll say, you say you believe. Well, I need to look at your life. I need to see if you're going to persevere to the end. I need to see if you're living it out. And see, one of the sad things is there are people out there, and they all want to say, look at your life, and then you can know if you're saved. And the truth is, everyone who looks in their life can't know that they're saved. And let me show you how, and I'll tell you more in just a minute. And sometimes, no matter what we say, they will say, you can't be saved because you believe in easy believism. You believe all it takes is to believe in Christ and you're saved. Amen. And they'd say, but that's right. Thank you. Keep it up, please. Okay, and then they'd say, our cheap grace. Listen, there's a church in our town that some people leave that church and come to Stillwater Bible. That's our church. And they'll tell me that when they went to the pastor of that other church and they said, we're wanting a little bit different stuff. We want to go over to Stillwater Bible. And he says, if you go to that church, you'll go to hell. Because they teach a message that it's just faith in Christ and you're saved forever. And we go, yeah, keep telling them. Yeah, that's exactly right. So you realize that our message of salvation by faith alone in Christ alone, the Lord, when we say, I believe, I'm by my words, I'm telling you that I have believed in Christ for eternal life. The Lordship people say, that's wrong. The Reform people say, I have to look at your life, I have to see this. And they say, you believe in easy believism, all of that kind of thing. And so the truth is this, and Bob and I talked about this, I thought it was pretty neat. The only people who might believe what we say is other free grace people. Right? I mean, if I told you, listen, I believed in Christ for eternal life, you'd all go, that's wonderful. Right? Okay, the second thing, and this is where it really gets weird, okay, to me, and this is by our works. Are we going to be able to show our salvation by our works? Because that's basically what they tell you. They say, well, how do you know if you're saved? Is there fruit in your life? Are you living right? Are you persevering to the end? Are you living right? Are you going to have final justification? You might be justified now, but that doesn't mean you're saved. You got to live righteously so you can get final justification. Well, the problem with looking at works is how many, for how long, and how do they decide, and why do they decide, by the way? You know, it's kind of ridiculous, but these people are wanting to look at your life and say, I don't believe you're saved because I don't see the works. I always think about this Matthew 7:15. If you don't have to turn there, but it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. And it goes on and says, you'll know them by their fruits. And the people come up to you and say, so you have to look at your life and see if you have fruit in your life. And I said, that passage isn't talking about believers proving their salvation. It's talking about false prophets who are giving a false message. They are wolves in sheep's clothing, so their lifestyle is good. It's not how they look. It's their message that is wrong. And so they're all confused because how many times people have ever said, look at their fruit. What are they producing? All this. And so the context of that passage is false prophets. At 17 years old, before I went to Delta State, before I got into that Bible study and couldn't get out, I believed that if you did more good than bad, you would go to heaven. So at age 17, if you would have seen me, I worked with sports. I made good grades. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I love my coaches. My coaches love me. You might have looked at me and said, you know, he's probably a Christian. Look how he lives. But you can't go by that because I wasn't a Christian. And then, listen, I go to college. I trust Christ as Savior. And then I live badly. I did. For a while. If you'd have seen me, I went to coach at Mississippi State. I was only 23 when I went there to coach. And I got ahead of sports car and stuff. And so if you'd have seen my lifestyle in those years, you would have said, he's not a Christian. And yet you'd have been wrong on both accounts. And so when you look at lifestyle, you could be a believer living good or a believer living bad. Or you could be an unbeliever living good or an unbeliever living bad. There's no way to tell. And so already we say, can we show our faith? Can we prove our salvation by our words? The answer could be yes, but if they believe us, but most of the time they don't. The second one, can we show it by our works? And the truth is, you can't tell by works. So let me raise this question then. Should we do good works? Well, of course. And look at this. Let's think of some reasons for doing good works. First of all, God is glorified. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine so that God, you know. And then it's good for others when we do good works. Titus says, this is good and profitable for men that we all do good things. And then we'd be a light in a fallen world, do all things without grumbling and complaining. We may prove ourselves to be innocent and blameless children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which we shine as lights in a world. So that would be good. And then in Matthew 25, when he says, well done, good and faithful servant, we want to do good works so we can hear him say, well done. And then in James 2, I think active faith, you don't want a dead faith, you want an active faith. And then even a testimony, when you want to share your faith, if you haven't done good works, some people wouldn't even consider listening to you. So, good works, that's good for us to do them, but they're not going to prove salvation. In fact, I put the negative aspect to good works is they don't prove we're saved. Because you can't tell. You can't tell. When you see a person living good, they could be a believer living good. They could be an unbeliever living good. They could be a believer living badly. They could be an unbeliever living badly. So you just can't go by that. And so here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to talk for just a second about, because people always say things, you have to look at your life. What when people look at works, look at their works, what happens? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about a person who thinks they're a believer or may be a believer. And they've told them to make sure if the way you can know if you're saved is you look at your life. And then when you look at your life, you can tell, are you producing fruit? Are you growing? Do you love God? It's sort of like John MacArthur in his thing on First John. He says, like, there's 12 things you have to do to be saved. No, those are 12 things, you know. So are we doing those sort of things? What do you see when you look at your life? When you look at your inside, what do you see? You see your sin. I have a friend, and I love him. He's been my friend for over, gosh, it'll soon be close to 45 years. But he struggles all the time. He is a believer. He's actually been a pastor. He's my good buddy. And yet, when he tends to always look at his life, and when he looks at his life, he sees his sin, and he'll call me, and he'll say, I'm just so bad. I know I'm really not saved, because if I was really saved, I wouldn't do this. I said, yes, you would. I said, I do it. This is the flesh. That's not an indication of whether you're saved or not. You have believed in Christ for eternal life. And he struggles all the time with that. I have one other thing. Most of you know who R.C. Sproul is, right? He was probably the leading reform teacher, writer. He's passed away now. But I have something that from his table talk, he actually wrote this himself, that talks about what happens when you look at your own life when you begin to doubt your salvation. Because see, that's what they tell you. How do you know you're saved? Look at your life. Is there fruit? Are you growing? Do you love God? Are you wanting to study the Bible? Are you being kind to people? Do you see fruit of the Spirit? And they tell you all these kind of things, and they say, look at your life. So here's R.C., and this is him writing, and he says, he talks about, all of a sudden it hit him, maybe he wasn't saved. He says, suppose I'm mistaken about my salvation and I'm really going to hell. How can I know I'm a real Christian? What do reformed people tell you how you can know you're a real Christian? Look at your lifestyle, right? But you can't tell from lifestyle. So what does he say? Well, a while back, I had one of those moments of self-awareness, and it hit me. And I said to myself, RC, what if you're not one of the redeemed? What if you're going to hell? I was flooded in my body with a chill that went from my head to my bottom of my spine. I was terrified. I grabbed hold of myself. And then I began to take stock of my life, and I looked at my performance. Isn't that what they tell you to do? And what did he say? My sins came pouring into my mind. And the more I looked at myself, the worse I felt. And then I said, maybe it's true. Maybe I'm not saved after all. So let me tell you, you have the Lordship people and the Reform people, and they're all telling you, look at your life. Let us see if you're living right. Is there fruit in your life? And the truth is, when you look at your life, what do you see? You see your sin. And when you start seeing your sin, you're going to be like RC, and he's going to say, maybe I'm not saved after all. He said, I went to my room and I read my Bible, and I said to God, I can't point out my obedience to you. You're exactly right. You can't. We're not saved because of our obedience. We're saved because of our faith in Christ for eternal life. So that's what he says. Now, what happens when people do this? My gracious, it tears them up. And so I've got my friend, and he'll call me. And I'm going to tell you, he calls me about at least once a week. And I always tell him, listen, you have believed in Christ. You have eternal life. When you look at your sin, just remember, you're sinning. You need to confess it, get back in the fellowship, and go on with your life. It doesn't mean you're not a Christian. Yeah, but if I was a real Christian, I wouldn't do all of this. I said, you're a real Christian. And so that whole idea, what happens when we, as a believer, look to our own selves to try to decide if we're saved or not? These things are written to you who do what? These things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know. He didn't say these things are written to you who look at your life and see if you're living right. He didn't say that. He said it goes back to our faith in Christ. Here's the second one. And here's the problem. People who do that, they always end up serving God out of fear rather than love. Anytime you don't know, anytime you're not sure, anytime you see your sin, anytime you begin to doubt, you say, I better turn it up. I better turn it up a notch. I better do what God wants me to do. And so they serve God out of fear rather than love. And that really breaks your heart. The second thing is, what about when others look at our works? Other people look at us. What do they say? They say, well, I see your good works. You might be saved if you keep on doing good. Well, for how long? For how long and how much? And then there's others, they say, well, I see your lifestyle, and it's not very good. So you're not a believer, or you may have never believed, you know. Or others say, well, maybe you're saved now, but you could lose it tomorrow if you don't persevere. Maybe you don't get the second justification. Or maybe you don't get this. Maybe you don't get that. And so they don't know. That's what breaks our hearts. And so we've got two questions here. So, how do we know we're saved? And can we know? The answer is yes, and it's simply because we believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. When we look at them and we say, can they know we're saved by our words? Only if they believe what we say. And they may not. In fact, they most likely will not, because they say, you're easy believism, you're cheap grace, you'll go to hell if you go to that church, you'll do this. The other one is, well, what if you do look at works, but you can't tell? Because when you look at works, what do you get? You say, well, I have some good works. Or as that guy that debated Bob, he says, I think I'm close to 90%. Yeah, I want to be 100%, don't you? I don't want to be 90%. So with that in mind, we go to a third thing. What if we then say, well, what about both our words and our works? And Colossians 3 said, whatever you do in what? Word or deed. Word or works, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Well, the truth is that we are supposed to tell people about Jesus Christ. We're supposed to live out our faith. We're supposed to be, but that is not going to make people believe that we're Christians or that we are saved. Because they could say, you just believe in easy believism, so you're never going to be saved anyway. Or I look at your life and maybe right now you look okay, but we don't know what the future is going to be. And that's one of the things, and let me just stop for a second. Whenever you look to works to try to say if you're saved, you could even say, I look pretty good right now. I love the Bible and I love God and I'm going to church and I'm doing all these things. But the problem is, you don't know what the next 5 years are going to be. You don't know if you're going to keep on growing. You don't know what's going to happen. And if it is dependent on me being faithful in that way or looking at my life and that's how I know I'm saved, I could come to a point where I say, I'm probably not saved because I'm not living it out. I have people that I remember that it broke my heart. I had this, we're at Oklahoma State is in Stillwater where we are. And we get a lot of college students. And over the years, I've got to get with a lot of them and disciple them. I had this guy come 1 year. And he was incredible. He came as a sophomore to our church, and I started meeting with him. And he said, I love the Bible. I want to really, really grow. I want to really know this stuff. So I asked him if he'd want to be one of, we have interns. I said, you want to be one of my interns things? And he did, yeah. And so for a whole year, he and I met, like we met every like Friday mornings, and he would come and work at the church, and he'd study the Bible. I actually had him put together a message, and he taught it to a little thing, and everything went great. And then summer came, and then the fall came, and he wasn't there. And I thought, surely he didn't graduate. I thought I remember him being younger than that. Surely he didn't graduate. And then I guess he didn't come back to college. Well, that was in September. Well, around Christmas, I got a phone call from his dad. And I said, wow. I said, I've looked all over for him. He said, oh, he's there. I said, he's there. I said, he's not at church. He said, I know. I said, what's going on? He said, well, he's taking the geology course, and the professor told him that the Bible wasn't true, that you could look at the Bible and there's all kind of errors in it, and it was written by men, there were all kind of issues in it, and that religion really was just a man's way of trying to make himself feel good. And he bought it, and he dropped out, and he told people, I used to be a believer, but I'm not anymore. Well, let me ask you something, is he still saved? Yeah. If you looked at his lifestyle and talked to him, he would say to you, I don't believe that. I don't go to church. I don't do that. You could look at that and you could say, well, he obviously isn't a, but that's not true. He is a believer. What did he believe? When he believed, what did he get? How long did it last? Forever. So it broke my heart. And by the way, I never saw him again. Never saw him again. Huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I will. Yeah. And I'll say, I told you so. I told you so. He and I'll be over there not getting word, and you're not getting rewards. You know, I'll say, I'm over here with you. Yeah, yeah. At least I believed. Maybe I'll get something. You know, at least I was faithful. Who knows? So, words, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Look, so we could tell them that we believe. We could tell them the good news message. But that doesn't mean that they're going to say, yes, I think you're saved. They may say, I don't believe you. We can do good works. And they can say, I see your good works now. I see that you're like a light, live as lights in the fallen world. And they could say, yeah, you're good right now, but we don't know about you. We don't know if you're really saved or not. And so they may not believe us. And let me say something. The truth is this. Are you ready? They don't know if they're saved. They don't know if they're safe, so why are we trying to listen to them? You know, I have people come up all the time and they say, all these people are challenging me. I said, listen, they don't even know if they're saved. How are they going to know if you're saved? They don't even know if they're saved. I remember, I think, Bob, you did this. I think it was you that said this about how people have a confused gospel, and then it'd be something like this. You know, I'm confused on the gospel. If I can meet with you for 10 minutes, I'll confuse you as well. And that's what happens to a lot of people. And I think the thing that I've seen over the years that have really bothered me is a lot of good organizations and schools continually move further and further away from the truth and especially from the grace message. And I just, my heart goes out because I've had a friend that was a pastor of a church, and he was a grace guy all the way. And he left to go to another church, and they hired a guy that wasn't grace. And within a matter of a year, the church wasn't even a grace church anymore. I mean, it just breaks your heart. So let me give you, and I'm going to end probably a little bit early, but conclusion, okay? Now, we know that we are saved by faith in Christ for eternal life. We're saved and saved forever. We can know it. And we can thank God and we can serve. It's supposed to say serve out of love. So thank God and serve out of love, not out of fear, because we know we have eternal life. And then the second thing is, how do others know that we're saved? Well, the truth is, they can't know. They can't know if they don't believe us. Most of the time, they're going to say, look to your life, and we're going to look to your life. But even when they look at our lives, they still don't know, because you can't tell from a lifestyle. I mean, even they admit that. They say, well, I sort of think I'm saved. I'm up to 90% now, and maybe if I keep living good, you know, I will. By our words, we can tell them. By our deeds, we can live as lights in the midst of a fallen world. But the truth is, they don't know. They don't even know if they're saved. And why should we listen to them? And so I've got this little statement. Let us tell others that we have eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the promise of God. And as we do this, as we live out our faith in this fallen world, living our lives to bring glory to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this bottom line, if they don't believe what we tell them, if they don't believe our words, then what we say, it doesn't matter. You know, I can tell them all day long, I have put my faith in Christ. I believed in him for eternal life. And if they don't believe that, they're not going to know whether I'm saved or not. Second is, works can never prove it. Work cannot prove it. And listen, anytime you look to works, you'll always be disappointed. Anytime you look to works, you'll be frustrated, because you'll see your sin, and then you'll also maybe see your works. But the question is, are you going to continue in those works? You don't know what the future holds. So the truth is, we know we're saved, and based on the promise of Jesus Christ. And can we prove our salvation to other people? The answer is, if they listen to what we say, yes. If they don't, and they look at our lifestyle, they can't tell, the answer is no. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for this. Looking at this, and Lord, I know it's a little bit complicated or a little bit different, but Lord, we know that we want to live in such a way that we bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that there are people out there telling people to look at their lifestyle to discern if they're saved and those kind of things. And Lord, thank you that we can know we have eternal life simply by faith alone in Christ alone, trusting in him to give us eternal life, and that we can know it. And Lord, just may we continually proclaim the message. And Lord, I pray that there might be people who would look at us and hear our message, believe what we say, and believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Lord, my heart breaks for all people who are looking at something other than the promise of Jesus Christ for eternal life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Where's the thunderous applause? I mean, what thunder? God, gracious.
We got a question from Spain.
Oh, no. Spain?
Spain.
Español. Español. Muy poquito.
Ken, you got the question, so come here.
We got a.
I'll pick up questions. I hope you start hard.
Listen,
reading.
If they're hard questions, I'm giving them to Bob. Okay, I mean, how do we have questions about this? The answer is no. The answer is no. Okay, what?
Okay, the question from Spain is a little translation here. How much do you pay Bob to win the raffle at the end of it? Is that what it says?
No,
my Spanish isn't that good, but it's.
I always say to Bob, here's what I say to Bob. I will always brag on you if you let me win. No.
No. Here's the question. Oh. I just made that up. That's not what it says. What would be a good strategy to re-evangelize an open-minded worshiper? Lordshipper. What would be a good strategy to re-evangelize an open-minded lordship?
So a person who thinks you have to do good works, right, basically be saved. I would probably say just go back to the basic truth of what is the salvation. We always say, what's the message? He died and rose again. What's the response? To believe. What's the offer? Eternal life. And so I would just go back to that. We use that all the time. And it's John, by the way, it's just John 3:16. Most everybody knows that. I've known programs where people say you had to know like 15 verses to share your faith. I say, look, just John 3:16, and you can share your faith, and it's clear. So I would use John 3:16 and go back and just talk to them. I hope that's what they're asking.
Why should we care whether others think we're saved?
Well, I don't know. But really, that's one of the things when I was putting this together, I thought, there's people out there all the time saying things like, well, that person's obviously not saved because they don't live right or they don't do this. So I said, well, I want to look at it and how can people know that we're saved? And the truth is, they really can't. And I don't, let me just say it in a nice way. That's why I said, listen, they don't even know if they're saved. How are they going to know whether we're saved or not? The truth is, I don't care whether they think I'm saved or not, but we want to live in what? In such a way that brings glory to Christ and all of that. So I would say I care in how we live our lives, but whether they think I'm saved or not, and when I would say to them, I have believed in Christ for eternal life, and they say, I don't believe you or I don't care, I just say, well, I'm sorry. That's the best I'm going to be able to give you, you know. Yeah. I'm really tall on this. You don't know that? Have you noticed? Yeah.
You need your Bible for this one.
Uh-oh.
2 Corinthians 5:11.
Okay, I know. I probably
How do you explain that? Is fear, regarding fear as a motivation?
Okay. Oh.
2 Corinthians 5:11.
Is that in New Testament? Old Testament. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Now I feel like you when you were up here.
I think he just took a shot at you.
Did he?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, when he says here, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. And I love the persuade because Bob, and I'm bragging on Bob because maybe I'll win something. But anyway, the truth is, we're persuading people. It's not like we're making this choice. We're persuading them. But he says, knowing the fear of the Lord. I think that it says knowing the fear of the Lord. It's the same idea as people used to say a God-fearing person or fear. I think it's the awe of knowing who God is and what he set us to do. And so I don't think we're serving out of fear, but we know that we're serving the God of the universe who created all things, who works all things, and so we're saying, this is the awesome God who's given me this responsibility. Not that I'm afraid to serve him, but I'm serving him because of who he is. Is that okay? You think we got through with that one? Yeah.
1 John 5:13.
Okay.
The second half. That you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, do you have to keep on believing? In other words, to continue to believe in 1 John.
Okay, so that's, yeah, and my Bible doesn't have that part.
Okay.
That's true, right? Isn't that that's a...
That's a majority text.
That's a majority text. So that's not in my Bible, so I don't answer that.
Good.
But the truth is, no, we don't have to continue to believe, but I think the idea is that once you believe, you're saved and saved forever, but you want to continue to believe the truth of what his promise is. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would, own spin on that is the majority text is longer. That's why it says that you may, and the New King James supplies continue to believe. I think it should supply continue to know. Because he says, these things I write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. And when you read earlier in the book, like 2:12-15, clearly they know they have everlasting life. And in 2:24-25, they're trying to deceive you about everlasting life, but they're not yet deceived. Yeah. These things I write to you who believe that you may continue to know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So, it seems to me his concern is they might defect.
Okay, yeah.
And that's what 1 John 5:13. A lot of people say, well, it says, I'm writing to you who believe, therefore it's possible to believe and at the same time not have assurance. Right? That's what a lot of people say because it says that you may know.
Right.
Well, no. If you believe, you know.
No, you know. Yeah. That's how I would take
that. It's a song. You know, you know.
Right. Whatever. Know. Yeah. How much more time do I have?
You got 3 minutes and 49.
Okay. All right.
Okay. How about this one? Does James say we are vindicated or justified before men by our works?
I think that there's a great truth. We're justified before people by our works. We're justified before God by our faith. I think James 2 is, I think the real emphasis in James 2 is because he keeps calling brethren, and if somebody comes and you don't do this, I think he's dealing more with believers and not unbelievers there, that Abraham and his two people were, I think they were believers. And I think, of course, when Rahab, there were believers. Those guys were believers, I would assume. So I think it's really talking more about the idea of being justified. We could say justified before people as a whole. But I think in those two passages in James, he's dealing with that other believers saw these believers' faith. Does that make any sense?
How can we say someone is saved? Isn't it only between God and the person? Aren't perceptions faulty? In other words, if someone says they're saved,
could they lie? Yeah. The truth is, listen, if you said to me, JB, do you have eternal life? And I said, oh yeah, I have believed in Christ for eternal life. I could be lying to you. There's no really way to know whether any of us have believed in Christ for eternal life unless we're lying. But if we're telling the truth and I say, yeah, I believed in Christ and I know I have eternal life, we'd say, that's great. Now I could be a liar. And the truth is, the only one who actually really knows what would be God. If a person has believed in him for eternal life or not.
Yeah.
We're not going to lie to each other, or we shouldn't, right?
I think part of it might be there. Sometimes you hear people say, I don't know if I'm reading too much in there. You don't know whether you're saved or not. Only God knows. But we would say, no, I know.
Right.
I know because I believe.
Well, I've had people say, the only person that could know is them, and they may not even know.
Exactly.
And I go, no, that's not right. Yeah.
This is on James 2 as well.
Oh, boy.
James 2 says that Abraham was... It's a little bit of a different slant.
Okay.
Abraham was justified by men and called a friend of God because of his works when he sacrificed Isaac on the altar. Is this the same thing or different than what you're talking about? Is this justification to eternal life? Well,
Abraham offering up... Abraham was justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac. Is that where he is?
Right.
The scripture fulfilled, Abraham believed God. I think all that's saying is when he did that, the people who were seeing it, which were those two guys, he had said, the lad and I are going over there, we're going to worship, and we are coming back. Now, he knew that he was going to have to kill his son and God was going to raise him from the dead. I think that he's saying that those guys saw that and basically were saying he's justified. He's a righteous man. Is that the question? I'm not sure what he's asking. And the scripture was fulfilled. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. I think it just goes back to say, it just shows that Abraham was a believing person and he had God's righteousness and he's doing what God told him to do.
Final one.
10 seconds.
Can you understand grace and still doubt your salvation?
I think so. I think a lot of people can believe in Jesus Christ and have eternal life and get confused and doubt whether they're still saved. And my friend calls and says, you know, JB, I'm going to hell. I said, no, you're not. I am because I'm not living right. I said that has nothing to do with it. So I think a person can understand the grace of God and salvation and then not have assurance later.